This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome to the JNS Spine podcast for March 25th, 2011. I'm Natalie Pincham. This podcast will feature a summary of two clinical articles published today by JNS Spine. Factors predicting the feasibility of monitoring lower limb muscle motor evoked potentials in patients undergoing excision of spinal cord tumors. A clinical article by Vedantam Rajshekhir and colleagues. It is not uncommon to be unable to record baseline motor evoked potentials from lower limb muscles during surgery for spinal cord tumors. In this prospective study of 110 patients with extramedullary and intramedullary spinal cord tumors, the authors evaluated various clinical features that could predict the successful baseline intraoperative recording of motor evoked potentials from lower limb muscles. Intraoperative recording of baseline lower limb motor evoked potentials was successful in 68% of patients. 89% of patients with neuric grades 0 through 3 had successful muscle motor evoked potentials recordings. Only 7% of patients with poor neuric grades had successful recordings. These data can be used by surgeons to preoperatively assess the likelihood of obtaining baseline muscle motor evoked potentials in patients undergoing surgery for spinal cord tumors. In 32% of patients, motor evoked potentials could only be obtained from muscles other than the tibialis anterior. Therefore, monitoring should include other lower limb muscles in addition to the tibialis anterior to optimize the chances of obtaining baseline responses. Finally, the feasibility of monitoring motor evoked potentials was independently associated with better motor outcome at discharge from the hospital. Spinal surgery following organ transplantation, a clinical article by Kashif Sheikh and co-authors. As transplant care continues to improve, the healthcare needs of this unique patient population continues to expand. For the neurosurgeon, a primary question with respect to these patients is the potential deleterious effect of chronic immunosuppressive therapy on the safety and efficacy of spinal fusion surgery. In this retrospective study, the authors evaluated fusion outcomes in 18 patients who had previously undergone transplantation of the kidney, liver, heart, pancreas, or bone marrow. All patients were receiving chronic immunosuppressive therapy at the time of the fusion procedure. The results demonstrated that a majority of the patients were able to undergo a successful fusion procedure despite the immunosuppressive drug regimen. However, perioperative morbidity and mortality rates were not insignificant. Some patients suffered postoperative complications related to the stress of the fusion surgery on the transplanted organ, as well as the effect of chronic immunosuppression on wound healing and infection risk. Based on their experiences with fusion surgery in immunosuppressed patients post-transplantation, the authors recommend that immunosuppressive medications be maintained throughout the spine perioperative period, that the spine surgery be performed in a setting in which appropriate transplant services are available, and that the patient be counseled on the increased risks of the surgery associated with having a transplanted organ. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.